The question today is, what is righteousness? We've been dealing with the scripture in John 16, 8 through 11, dealing on what is sin and what is judgment and what is reproval and what is godly sorrow. But now I want to deal with what is righteousness in that context, as far as John 16, 8, when he says the Holy Spirit will come and reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Well, I know the Bible has many times it uses the word righteousness in the Word of God, almost 300, in fact, in the Old Testament and the New. The Greek dictionaries define righteousness as, first of all, the condition acceptable to God. And secondly, it defines it as the character or quality of being right or just. Webster says righteousness is nearly equivalent to holiness, comprehending holy principles and affections of heart, and conformity of life to the divine law. Well, when we think about what is righteousness, I just want to say righteousness is some things today. Righteousness, first of all, is required to enter heaven. Now, remember the definition, the condition acceptable to God. Thus, self-righteousness will not be accepted by Him. Not self-righteousness, but righteousness. So Jesus makes that clear in Matthew 5:20. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. You see, the Pharisees were a country mile ahead of us in their self-righteousness, yet that's not good enough and will not be accepted at judgment. God said, the Lord said, they'll not enter in, and yet they're a country mile ahead of us. And the Bible says in Matthew 7:22-23, many will say to me in that day, that's the day that the sinners have to stand before the great white throne judgment. They've already missed the judgment seat of Christ. But they'll be there and they'll say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew ye, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Self-righteousness is not enough. Righteousness is required to enter heaven. Enter heaven. Titus 3:5, he said, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Righteousness is required to enter heaven. Righteousness is revealed in the gospel. Romans 1:16 and 17 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Therein, at verse number 17, what's that referring to? It's referring to the gospel of Christ in verse 16, which, and that's therein the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed. Well, Paul defined the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And that's where he referred to the, in other words, he's referring to Old Testament Scriptures, where it's talking about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the gospel, we say that's the gospel in a nutshell, and therein is the righteousness of God revealed. But folks, there's more involved than just Him dying and buried and rose again. It involves the virgin birth, the sinless life, the vicarious death, His burial, His resurrection, His ascension, His ministry of intercession, and His bodily coming back again. The righteousness is revealed that we're talking about is revealed in the gospel. Righteousness is also reproved by the Spirit. When Jesus was about to go to the cross, He promised He would send another Comforter. That was the Holy Spirit, whom He said in John 16:8, and when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Now the word reprove means to convict and convince. It's what we call Holy Ghost conviction, the factual part of Holy Ghost conviction. We've dealt with that. You need to comments on that, or tapes on that, or books on that, we'll be glad to send them to you. Just send us your questions and write us, and we'll be glad to send you material free of charge. Is the way it is, just for the asking. But he said he would convince of righteousness and sin and righteousness and judgment. Now, the word reprove means to convict and convince. The Holy Spirit convicts of the sin of unbelief. John 16:9 says of sin, not sins, but sin, because they believe not on me. And judgment, he can convicts of judgment, which is hell, the punishment of sin, John 16:11, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. But he also convinces a person of his need of the righteousness of God as God's requirement for justification. John 16:10, he said of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. No one will be saved until this work of reproval is complete in all three areas. Sin, righteousness, and judgment. Many have been convicted of sins, yet not the sin of unbelief. Therefore, they're not saved. Many have been convicted of judgment, the hell part. But the Lord doesn't save you to keep you out of hell. He saves you for His glory. Therefore, you must be convinced of the righteousness of God before you will ever be justified. And this is a work of the Holy Spirit. Oh, how many so-called Christians today need to be convinced of the righteousness of God. Righteousness is received by saving faith. It's a gift. It's not something you work up. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's saying that your faith is a gift from God, and it comes from God. No doubt about that. John 3:27, John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by without the deeds of the law, as the Bible brings out. This refers to saving faith. And so, therefore, righteousness is reproved by the Spirit. It's received by saving faith. And righteousness is really Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:30 said, but of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That verse states plainly that God made Jesus Christ to be our righteousness. John 16:10, as He said about reproving of righteousness, He said of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. The language of this verse reveals clearly that Jesus is the righteousness one needs to be convinced of. When Jesus walked upon this earth, His disciples were convinced by His life that He was the righteous one with a capital R. But now, since He no longer walks upon this earth in human form, man needs someone to convince him that Jesus is the righteous one, and that that is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the righteousness we need. The Old Testament declared in Jeremiah 23:6, in His days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is His name whereby He shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. And the New Testament states plainly that one must have the Son to be saved. 1 John 5:12, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You see, the Son is Jesus Christ, who is the righteousness of God. Self-righteousness causes man to clean up the outside by doing certain things or abstaining from certain things, while God's righteousness cleans up the inside first and continues to clean up the outside. Jesus made this clear to the Pharisees in Matthew 23:25-26, when He said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside may be clean also. So when the Lord said you need to be reproved of righteousness, of sin, He's not talking about the sins of lying, stealing, drinking, murder, and adultery. In such like, He's talking about the sin of unbelief. And when He speaks of being reproved of righteousness, He's not talking about self-righteousness or living right or being clean on the outside. He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ coming and living on the inside. He is the righteousness of God. He is who is required for you to have to enter heaven. And therefore, it's the righteousness of God that you must submit to. But submission is the problem. It's the real problem, and that was Israel's problem. Romans 10:3, talking about Israel, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness. They were ignorant of Jesus Christ, is what it amounts to. And going about to establish their own righteousness, their self-righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Israel as a nation would not submit to Jesus Christ, the Messiah, as their Lord. They didn't believe He was. And there was the problem, submission. They went about to establish their own righteousness. Therefore, they were not saved. Now, somebody said, oh, a Jew saved because he believes in God. Listen, a Jew is not saved unless he believed in Jesus Christ as his righteousness, and you're not saved unless you believe in Jesus Christ as your righteousness. Jesus said to those Pharisees and Sadducees in John chapter 5, verse 39 and 40, he said, "Search the Scripture, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, and ye will not come to me that you might have life." They would not submit to the Lord Jesus Christ as their righteousness. And folks, Jesus must be submitted to as Lord before one can be saved. We have too many people today, even Baptists, that's preaching and teaching, take Jesus as your Savior and then down the road somewhere take Him as Lord. That's not salvation. The Bible says, He says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of" who? "The Lord shall be saved." That doesn't mean to say some prayer. He will not be your Savior until He is your Lord. In fact, it says in 1 Corinthians 12:3, "No man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost." That means for that to happen, it takes a complete work of reproval of John 16:8. When He comes, the Holy Spirit, He will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And we've dealt with that before. And if you need comments on that, we'd be glad to send you some material upon that. I beg you, listen to the truth. Obey the truth. Get honest with yourself. So one must be convinced that Jesus is the righteousness he needs and submits to Him as Lord to be justified. By the way, this is true in every dispensation. We've got some people believe that you're saved one way in one dispensation, one way in another. Not so. God granted Abraham righteousness in Genesis 15:6, where it says he believed in the Lord and he counted it to him for righteousness. Why did he do that? Because he believed, he was convinced the seed was more than just Isaac. And you notice the seed was singular, not plural. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus even said, "Abraham saw my day." He was convinced, and God put righteousness on his account. I ask you today, do you have self-righteousness or do you have God's righteousness? Do you have the Son who is God's righteousness? If you do not, you will not enter heaven. May the Lord give you understanding of what is righteousness and then enable you to get honest with yourself, enable you to submit to Jesus as your Lord, the righteousness of God. May the Lord help you to see what is righteousness. Get honest and let Him finish a work in you completely of sin, righteousness, and judgment. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.